Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Now I have a machine gun.
Hey, you do have a machine gun.
I do.
Who gave you that machine gun?
Maurice.
Oh, is he selling machine guns again?
Yeah, but he will not give me ammunition.
Oh.
So I just have to stand around and go, pop, 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 pop.
Oh, you do like that.
I do. It keeps me entertained.
Yeah. Hey, it's Christmas?
Is it? Is that why I got a machine gun?
Yeah, because it's Christmas, bud.
Oh, I stopped carving tally marks in the wall a while ago.
Well, I'll give you a hint. It's 2021.
Whoa, you said we weren't going to last that long after last year.
I didn't think so.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's our Christmas special.
Woohoo.
Yay.
Yeah, Sam's here.
Hi.
Sammy Claus.
That's there you.
That's me.
You got to own it.
I'm Sammy Claus.
There it is. She owned it.
There, that's
perfect.
It.
Perfect. So this will have a very similar format to what we usually do, but Max and I, we were told to watch specific Christmas movies by Sam.
Yep.
We are going to go over the movies, and then Sam will chime in after our scores with her score and tell us how right or wrong we are.
Yeah.
Are you expecting to be mad at us?
No, I don't think so.
I guess at the end of the episode, she should tell us whether we make
we'll
the nice
see.
List or the naughty list.
See if you liked my gifts to you.
So I don't... Who should go first? You know what we both had, so...
So think about what the last movie is going to be reviewed. That's usually the way we do it.
Yeah.
Trying to see the order.
Dramatic.
Okay. We'll do Tim first.
Tim first.
Me first. All right. Well, no better way to kick off a Christmas episode than with a Christmas-themed horror movie.
Of course, my favorite.
I know. I'm shocked I got this and not you.
I've seen this one before.
Ah, that's why I got this one. Now it makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Better watch out.
For what?
Better watch out for horror.
Oh, okay. That's the name of the movie.
Is it? I was just saying.
Oh, okay. All right. What am I watching out for? Watch out for this machine gun.
You better watch out.
Yeah.
Better watch out. I don't know what year it came out because I forgot to write it.
Mm.
Already off to a strong start.
I watched love
this. 2016?
Mm-hmm.
She's good. Thank God she's here.
The gift of saving your butt.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody dare call me out.
I watched this on November 29th, 2021.
Mm.
It's an hour 29. They couldn't have fit one more minute in this thing, make it perfect.
It's a shame.
Disappointed.
Yep.
Just do the credits slower. Genre, yeah. Comedy, horror, thriller, Christmas.
Hmm.
Directed by Chris Peckover.
Oh, not Mess.
No, not Mess. Would have been good, though.
Damn.
Starring Olivia DeJean, Levi Miller, and Ed Oxenbold.
Hmm, that's bold.
Bold.
Bold and spicy. Bold.
I feel like that kid was, like, in everything. I feel like I've seen him in a million things.
He's that kid.
He's the character actor for kids.
Mm.
When he grows up, he's screwed. I don't know what he's going
to
do.
I hope to continue to be a character actor for kids.
Hopefully, yeah.
That'd be great.
He's just always got like a propeller hat.
That's right.
I like that. Your IMDb movie summary. On a quiet suburban street, a babysitter must defend a 12-year-old boy from intruders, only to discover it's far from a normal home invasion.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's not normal.
You can't talk about this movie without spoilers, right?
It's really hard, yeah. I was debating how I was going to talk about this movie, because there's a shift about, I don't know, third way through, and it just drastically changes the movie. So I guess I'll talk about it. We already talked about it. It's kind of a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's Horror Christmas is my first bullet point. Basically, what you have here is a 12-year-old boy who is in love with his babysitter. Couldn't love her more. You know, that's a typical thing kids do.
And it definitely is.
And she's going to end up moving away. She's moving away out of state, gone forever. And this is the last time she'll be babysitting him. And he is going to go for it. He's going to tell her how he feels. And he's going to just be like, I gotta try. She's gone forever.
He's gonna reach up and try to grab a boob.
He's gonna grab a boob.
Mm.
That's how you know, that's what love is to a 12-year-old, I guess?
I think so.
Just one boob.
One boob, that's all. And it's just a quick touch.
It is. It's very unsettling, actually. So basically what ends up happening is you find out, spoilers. If you don't want to know the spoiler, just skip ahead. But, you know, the kid is staging the home invasion.
Yes.
Him and his buddy are trying to scare her, and he's going to save the day kind of thing and maybe get lucky and touch both boobs.
That's basically the gift of a year of boners, touching one boob.
Yes.
Yeah.
1 year, many boners.
Many.
Many.
Many boners.
So you're lucky this is called Christmas Episode 2021, or that would be the title.
I don't know. Tim might put an oar in there. He's big for the Doctor Strangelove style title.
That's true. That's my favorite gimmick.
Yep.
So basically, your babysitter's moving away. 12-year-old wants to really put the moves on her. And, like, it's so sweet for the first third of this movie. It feels like they're actually being attacked by something and they're working together. And it feels like that kind of movie. And then it drastically shifts and you realize that this little boy, this 12-year-old boy, is a complete scumbag. Yep. And will go very far to get what he wants.
One boob.
And if you're going to go that far, just both boobs. I like this movie. It is so strange, though.
It is
very strange. It shifts so drastically. And, like, I was like, is this kid, like, a shitbag? Like, what is up with this kid? Is he going to turn?
Yeah.
And I think that's just because I don't trust anything.
That's
Plus,
fair.
It's called Better Watch Out. So I'm like, is the kid on, is, you know.
It's also, you know kids and how untrustworthy they are.
I hate kids. Damn kids. Stupid kids. Jeez. I thought Levi Miller was great. He's, like, haunting.
He is.
This. Like, he sells this so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really, I found him the most disturbing.
Agreed.
For sure. He was, like, levels above everything else.
It's so weird how it's got, like, a almost, like, sitcom-y, like, 50s sitcom-y style in the beginning, where you're like, is it supposed to be this kind of cheese ball?
Right.
And you read into that pretty early, right?
First 20 to 30 minutes, I was like, this movie is awful. Like, it was just very cheesy, like,
cliche
jump scares that were, like, forced.
Yeah.
And they set that up with the parents before they leave for the night, which is Patrick Warburton is the dad. He's the only real known person in this, I guess.
The Tick himself.
The Tick. And I guess Seinfeld people like him, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh, Patrick Warburton. And then I saw right away he was the dad. And I was like, oh, he's just going to be in this for 2 seconds. But whatever.
I'd love to meet him for 2 seconds. He seems great. Yeah.
He would say something strange and leave your life forever.
That's right.
That's how he rolled.
He'd touch one boob and leave.
He would touch one boob. I've earned this. Thank you.
Thanks for the boners.
Yes. This is a year of boners. Thank you. But yeah, they're just so corny. The dad's so into Christmas. The mom's so not.
Yeah.
She's drinking all the time. And it's just really good. I don't want to really spoil how far this movie goes, but it does stop resembling a Christmas movie at some point.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. Do you feel like this is a Christmas movie, or do you feel like this is just a movie set at Christmas?
I'd say it's a Christmas movie. It's a very unique Christmas movie. But Christmas is a huge theme here.
Right.
It's kind of like I Trapped the Devil, how I said it's loosely a Christmas movie, just because it only works, the family coming over and being in the room with the guy was only because of the holidays.
Yeah.
So it's crucial and integral to the plot.
Mm.
I feel like it's very crucial. Like, yes, you could have taken away Christmas and just like, oh, she's going to leave forever. And then it's just like, I don't know, I think the cutesier stuff, the beginning 20 minutes or so, wouldn't have landed as hard.
It's a nice juxtaposition using Christmas as a backdrop. Shane Black kind of popularized that with Lethal Weapon, right? Where it's like this horrible shit's happening with the Christmas lights and the warm music and all that in the background really works.
Yeah.
So. Really helps this movie out.
Yeah. I thought this movie was pretty solid. I did enjoy it. My last bullet point was I was surprised Sam didn't give this to Max, but now I understand why.
Yep.
So I guess we're going to go to scores.
Okay.
Sam's just going to glare at me.
Sam, do you think this is a Christmas movie?
We talked about this a little bit. I don't think it's a Christmas movie.
Ooh, okay.
It was more of a movie
Setting
set at Christmas.
I
agree with you. Like, some of the stuff wouldn't have worked as well if it wasn't Christmas, but I think overall the movie could have been set in another time.
Is it not a Christmas movie if it's really hard to sell to the general public?
I think if it doesn't have those Christmas values, right? Like, at the end of the day, it's like, what's the core value of this movie? It's a horror movie, right?
Right,
we have a terrible lead who's our antagonist and just, you know, being crafty, ripping off Home Alone a little bit, which a kid totally would do.
Yeah.
Love
and,
that.
And the whole Home Alone stuff was actually pretty great.
It was, yeah.
That part I liked.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, I guess let us know out there in listener land what you guys think.
I love that debate.
J-Rod, let me know in some sort of meme of some kind what you think.
At least in yellow feathers, tell him what you think.
Yes, please do.
Give him the gift that he's been waiting for. Jared in feathers.
Oh, can't wait. Everybody's like, what?
Yeah.
Scores. IMDb gave this a 6.5. Rotten Tomato critics, 65 of them. Gave it 89%.
Wow.
Pretty high.
That is.
Yeah, I guess they liked the twists and whatnot.
Sure.
The audience gave it 65%, 2,500 plus.
65 recurring a lot in these numbers.
And they're going to happen one more time because I also gave it a 6.5. 5.
That's a pretty good score for you.
Yeah. That speaks highly. I liked the movie. I liked what it did. I liked the twist, even though I'm a weirdo and I guessed a couple things.
Oh, wow.
You know, but it's just like, because I just don't trust anything anymore.
I like that.
What's the way out? What are they doing? Are you going to do something shady? I don't trust you.
And I think it's cool that they push. I think they pushed. Did they push farther than you expected when you were guessing what was going to happen?
Yeah.
I like that part of it, too.
For sure.
Yep. Because once the initial twist happens, you all bets are off, right? You're totally like unreliable narrator. I don't know what's going on. And it manages to be worse than you're like, holy shit, that is darker than I thought.
How are you going to ramp this up? And it just keeps on going. Yeah. So, Sam, what did you think?
I gave it a 6.5 as well.
Oh!
The gift of Exaxes.
Wow, I think that's definitive.
Damn.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
Holy hell. That's great. Well, Max, what you got first?
The year was 2020, the one you said we wouldn't survive.
I've been wrong.
But they made a movie that year.
Really? Just one?
One Christmas movie.
Okay.
That's it. That's a science fact.
Yeah.
One Christmas movie count in 2020. And it is called Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey.
Oh, man. All right.
So we watched this. This is fun. This is a kind of a cool episode for me because it hasn't been since, I think, our Christmas episode, or maybe Clipsmas, that we actually got to review a movie like pretty closely to watching it. Like this one I watched November 29th. 2021, so like very recent.
Very fresh. Oh, you were watching this while I was watching Better Watch Out. That's great.
It is 2 hours and 2 minutes long, and it is a musical.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. Directed by David E. Talbert, starring one of my favorites, legitimately, Keegan-Michael Key.
Oh, nice.
We get the Forest Whitaker in there as well, and we have Madeline Mills, who plays the main character, who's named Journey.
Oh.
So, your summary here is, decades after being betrayed by his apprentice, a once joyful toy maker finds new hope when his bright young granddaughter arrives on his doorstep. Mm. So, there's toy maker, his name is Geronimus Jangle, and there's like this weird, I've noticed this in Christmas movies, the Christmas Chronicles does this a little bit, I think it kind of started at the Santa Claus, where we take this like pseudo magic technology thing and kind of make it. Now I feel like it's evolved. Santa Claus felt kind of futuristic techie with all the like the systems the elves had and things.
Right.
This movie harkens more towards like that Christmas Chronicles where it's like magic but like kind of steampunk-esque.
Oh, I like that.
So it's got like, I would call it like their very Victorian side of steampunk. So less Wild West, far more Victorian, but like Jules Verne kind of feel.
That's kind of fun.
And this takes a lot of advantage of it. The main character is telling the story to her grandkid, and she's this giant book that's all like cogworks and like opens up with special things, and it has like animated little pop-up bits, and you get these cool little like automata little like transition sequences to get you back into the story, which is a lot of fun. So that stuff was really cool. I liked that a lot.
Is there a Santa Claus in this, and does he fly in an airship?
No.
Dang.
There is no Santa Claus.
Dang.
There is flying, but a robot does that.
I mean, robot Santa?
No, just robot.
Oh, dang. All right, well, go on.
So we kind of unfold this story, and the story's pretty cliche. It's told like a fairy tale, right? It's like grandmother telling the grandkids the story. So it's very kind of, we've seen this a million times. It's very familiar territory. There's a lot of music in here and a lot of musical numbers. They work pretty well. I thought the musical stuff was solid. The only thing I really didn't like was kind of the flat characters and the rather cliche story. Like, you kind of knew it was going to happen. It's not like this guy was going to be miserable and horrible forever. Like, you know what I mean? His apprentice steals his book of inventions and kind of rips him off and becomes super famous, and he's stuck being like a curmudgeon, and he's lost his magic to make things because it kind of just stole the, you know, wind out of his sails a bit.
Sure.
And then he manages, of course, through his granddaughter to find that magic again. So the Christmas theme is heavy here. Like, it is a solid Christmas movie because it's all about belief and finding yourself and the magic of family and things like that.
It's not just about presents.
Not just about presents. That's presents good. Are basically not existent in this movie. There's no present giving at all.
Probably a rarity, right?
The only thing presents was that his inventions were like the top sellers.
Yeah.
Like of the years.
Yeah, he was a toy maker. Like toy making being the only, but it's not like people are buying it or there's this crazy. It's got like that magical, like I said, the best way I can equate it is like a Jules Verne kind of feel.
That's pretty cool though. I like that.
It worked pretty well for the movie overall.
I'm glad the music was good because that's the really, like, even if the idea is good, if the music's bad.
Oh yeah. You're hinging so much on the music. Right. The camera work is pretty good for some of it, but there were times I remember stopping and telling you like, why was that cut so abrupt there? Mm-hmm. So it was like some stuff that wasn't quite perfect. But I don't think most people would notice like a jarring cut.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
I thought all the scenes were very like beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That was something noticeable.
Yeah. The sets were really good. The visuals were all really cool.
That's awesome.
It was overall a fairly enjoyable experience.
Wow.
IMDb, Continuing gives this a 6.5 out of 10. Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 76 of them gave this 89%.
Oh, wait, what?
Yes.
Come on.
The Magic of Christmas, the audience, 500 plus, gives it 72%.
Too much.
I am coming in a little bit under everybody, being the Grinch that I am, sure. And I'm giving it a 6 out of 10. The pace was a little unacceptable. The cliche story and the flat characters didn't quite do it for me. The 6 definitely being held up by the visuals. The Christmas theme here, so I say it's definitely a Christmas movie, unlike if you go back to our first Christmas special, me berating Christmas Vacation.
Oh, man, yeah.
And this one really holds up in that regard, but the flat characters, poor pacing, all kind of drug it down for me a little bit. And a waste of Keegan-Michael Key, which is... I love Keegan.
That's unfair.
Yeah, it is.
Don't waste him.
Sam, what say you?
I gave it a 6.5.
Oh, yeah.
I was between a 6.5 and a 7 with this one, but I think I liked it just about as much as Better Watch Out.
Okay.
So it was too long. I think if it had cut it about a half an hour, that it could have been much better.
Yeah, 2 hours and 2 minutes is a chunky one.
Sure. Yeah, a lot of times we see that where it's like you just take a little out. Give me the cliff notes just a little bit.
Yeah, let a little bit of air out because there's just long swaths. I mean, and we've talked about long movies that are great where it's like you... Hamilton, example of one you really liked that was long as shit.
Yeah.
But if it's tight and it needs to be that long, it needs to be that. Just tell the story the way it needs to be told. Don't just, it's too much hot air, everybody. It's you're full of hot air. Tighten that script down.
Everybody make more Manborgs that are like just a little bit over an hour.
That's right. And throw in your bio. Then we get more Biocops.
And then give them an origin in a different movie.
Oh, Biocop.
So good.
So good.
So good.
The real Christmas gift, Biocop. Yeah. That's what we're giving you, the gift of Biocop.
Yeah, go watch Biocop.
You're welcome.
So, my final movie for this episode, The Man Who Invented Christmas.
The Man.
The Man.
Oh.
He invented it.
Seems a little sexist to say that the man invented Christmas.
The man invented Christmas, and he's been keeping us down ever since.
Damn, man.
This is from 2017. I watched it on December 2nd of this year. It's an hour 44 genre biography comedy Christmas drama. I don't know why everything's a question when I get to the last one. Directed by Barrett Nalori?
I'll go with that.
It's spelled strangely. I think it's Barrett. I don't care. Starring Dan Stevens, Justin Edwards, and Morfydd Clark.
Morfydd?
Yes, she has a very strangely spelled name.
I like it.
I also like it. Your IMDb movie summary, the journey that led to Charles Dickens' creation of A Christmas Carol, a timeless tale that would redefine Christmas.
Redefine it.
Redefine. Christmas, no one cared.
That's right.
And then the Christmas Carol happened, and some people cared.
There's more gravy than gravy.
It's actually loosely true. I didn't really like this movie that much. Oh, yeah.
What didn't you like about it?
Well,
hit me. I didn't watch this. This I have not seen, so you're...
This isn't awful, but I did not have as much fun with this.
I'm not going to be mad at you.
Good, because... All the numbers are against what I think.
Okay.
And I have a very interesting note from my wife at the end.
Ooh.
The wife tried.
Okay.
My first bullet point, kind of good, but also kind of silly. Apparently, Charles Dickens found inspiration in everything. Like, oh, your name's Max? Let me write it in a book. I'm going to make Max a character. What does Max feel? Oh, he's like this guy I met over here. This guy does this. He says that. He said humbug. Okay. And it's like... maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but it's just so incredibly, it's just too much.
You call bullshit on it after a while.
It's so distracting. It's like, oh, he's going to yell at somebody and they're going to say something that I've heard of in The Christmas Carol. And I like The Christmas Carol a lot.
Me too.
It's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like so much. And I thought the acting was good. I just felt like that story was a bit much.
Mm.
It didn't feel like a biography. I didn't feel like I was learning so much as just going through motions and then having the Christmas Carol regurgitated at me.
Fair enough.
The acting is pretty good. I just did not fall in love with the script. The script really kind of bugged me.
Mm.
I thought it was boring.
I thought it was boring, too.
What was the runtime on this one?
I had a hard time getting through it.
An hour 44?
Okay, so that's... Yeah, all right, fair enough. Not really much chopping you can do at that point. I mean, 15 minutes buys you a lot, but...
Christopher Plummer is in it as Scrooge.
Ooh, that's rad.
Yeah. He was good.
He's always good.
He barely in it. No. And then, like, you know, he'll be imagining, like, oh, the characters are like Scrooge's in the room. He's like, you're a big old dumbass. And he'll like, you know, interact with him and stuff because he's thinking of.
Okay.
But, like, it just gets to be so much.
Right.
And it's like now the characters are talking to him and he's getting ideas. And I'm like, come on.
I did look and it says it's very, very loosely based off of his life. It's not.
I believe that.
Yeah, it's not really a biography.
I almost feel like if it wasn't considered a biography at all in the genres, it was just like fantasy idea. Like, it would almost feel better.
Cool cliche ideas.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool. Writers, and you're getting inspired by everything. Hobbity hobbity ho.
So it almost had a wife score. Almost. She abandoned the movie probably 20 minutes in.
Holy shit.
She said, I said, but Sam will be so sad that you didn't stick with this. What's wrong? She goes, English is my second language, and oldie English is bullshit, and I don't have the patience for it.
I'm going to sit her down and watch The Witch.
The Vivitch?
The Vivitch.
The Vivitch?
Yep.
So she was like, yeah, I just can't.
I don't blame her.
I just, ugh. She's like, I don't even know what the hell they're talking about, and I don't care. Like, all right, geez. Yeah. Yeah, tell me how you really feel. But yeah, I agree. The movie is a slogfest, and it just, I mean, it's fine.
It took me several days to watch the movie.
All right, so now I don't feel so bad.
No, she was watching it. She finished it today. And she was just like, oh my God, I got to finish this movie for tonight. And
did
I'm just
you,
like,
did you feel bad for making me watch it?
A little bit. I thought it would be decent with the scores.
You hadn't seen any of these, right, going into this? You hadn't seen any of these films, right?
Yeah, the scores are high.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. So I guess we'll go into that.
Yeah, let's talk about
IMDb it. IMDb gave it a 7.0.
Wow. Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 174 of them, gave it 79%.
Wow.
The audience, 25,000 plus.
Plus.
77%.
Wow.
Gave it a 4.5. It does a couple of things good. I can't say the acting's bad, but I absolutely did not need this at all.
Fair enough.
It didn't make me feel more Christmassy. Like, I could have watched, I think Better Watch Out made me feel more Christmassy. Oof. And that is a slasher movie. So
I gave it a 6. Probably doesn't deserve a 6.
You're in the Christmas spirit.
I thought the movie was okay once I got through it.
It's a little cheesy.
The fact that it took me several times to watch it.
It speaks volumes.
Yeah. You're just being nice now.
I think I was
6.
Just being nice. It's probably more like a 5.
Okay.
Fair. That's fair.
I like it. I don't like it. I'm glad you all watched it and not me.
Yes, you dodged a bullet.
This might be the only one you didn't watch, I think.
Yeah, correct. I watched another one, though.
Oh, did you?
It came out this year of 2021.
What? Movies came out this year?
8-Bit Christmas.
Oh, this sounds great already.
Yeah. Have you seen this yet?
No, I saw the little thumbnail for it, and I was like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And then I didn't watch.
So we watched this on 12/4/2021. It is 1 hour and 37 minutes. It is a comedy. It was directed by Michael Dowles, starring Winslow Fagley, Steven Zahn, and Sophia Reed Gantzert.
So,
yeah, your movie summary. A father tells his tech-obsessed daughter about how he obtained his Nintendo Entertainment System in the late 1980s. So this movie, the way I wrote this out, I think is pretty good. So I'm going to read it. This movie really threads a dangerous needle. It is trying to reference dozens of films while still trying to be a unique entry into the holiday movie realm. And I'm talking about not trying to reference specifically Christmas films, but it's trying to kind of bob and weave through a bunch of different 80s films.
Okay, so it's trying to put you in the time.
Yeah, so the framework of the whole movie is The Princess Bride.
Okay.
So it's Neil Patrick Harris playing the older version of the character, the main character, and he's telling his daughter, who just was like, I want a telephone. I'm old enough for a phone. And my friends are texting you. Let me text my friends back. He's like, sit down. We're visiting grandma and grandpa. And then he's like, I know. Let's go look at the tech I had when I was a kid. And he pulls out his Nintendo. He's like, did I ever tell you the story about how I got this Nintendo? So it's very Princess Bride, like coming over to tell you a story. So he sits and then it bounces back and forth between the modern time and the flashbacks to the story. So it's also got like a Christmas story vibe where it's kind of a pseudo dysfunctional family. It's kind of like the Goldbergs meet Christmas story a little bit. It's very good.
Yeah.
They do a really nice job of referencing a bunch of movies. There's Home Alone references in there with dialogue. So, like, the more you know that kind of era or ilk of films, you will be like, oh, okay, I picked up on that. Or I see what you're, you know, pick up what you're putting down here. So there's a lot going on. But it still, despite all that, manages to be very interesting and unique.
That's good.
Yeah, it's really a fun movie. I was really impressed with so many little baby setups that all pay off in the movie. It's unbelievably smart. There's so many cool little things that are like, oh, wow. Like, you figured that was just in there as like a laugh or a joke, but it actually sets something up later on.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
One of the little things, this isn't much of a spoiler. One of the minor things in the movie is the sister character wants a Cabbage Patch doll.
Nice.
And they were like the shit at that point in the 80s. So they were like sold out everywhere.
Right.
So the dad has like this weird underneath of a bridge back alley deal with David Cross, who is selling black market Cabbage Patch dolls.
Maybe the best role ever for him.
It's so good. And he's got like the long hair and beard, and he's like selling Cabbage Patch out of the back of his car.
It's so good.
Really funny.
That kind of stuff happened though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And so they make this like kind of nefarious wheeling deal for this Cabbage Patch doll. And then later on you see David Cross again, and he comes up when the kid's kind of at his lowest moment, and he comes up and he gives him like the Christmas motivator speech.
Nice.
That keeps him going, and he gives him a cab to get home, and he's like, I can't pay you for this. And he's just like, it's cool, man. I really fleeced your dad for that Cabbage Patch doll. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just these little baby setups that
that's so good.
All get paid off. There's like a little gag, and I'll spoil a little bit bigger now for you. Unfortunately, Tim, you can't avoid it. But
she gets a phone, and then she texts her friends this story.
No, it's it's good how much the daughter transitions away from that. You can tell, slowly she gets more and more into the story to where she's like asking the dad to keep telling her, much like Princess Bride,
yeah.
And what's really cool is they set up this little bit of business where the dog poops epically all over the yard. Like, they showed snow, and it just looks like a chocolate chip cookie. There's shit everywhere in the yard. And so the dad's like, don't worry about behind the shed. It's cool. Just so you can finish. You know what I mean? Like, two or three times they make this kid pick up shit, and the dad's like, don't worry about getting behind the shed, I guess. And it's just like, what mountain can be back there?
Right.
Well, at the end of the movie, you find out the kid does not get a Nintendo. That's not the point of the story. His dad actually builds him a treehouse.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's behind the shed where he keeps telling him not to pick up the shit. And the kid's so obsessed with getting the Nintendo, he did not notice his dad constructing an entire like tree fort in the backyard.
And he actually had him helping throughout.
Like, he did.
Making him do stuff, and he had no clue.
Yep, just random tasks and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Like, he hands him a bunch of old hockey sticks, and he's like, varnish these hockey sticks. And that ends up being the door to the treehouse, like the trap door for the treehouse. And it's this really heartwarming story, and you find out at the end that the dad passed away, and then he takes the daughter through the treehouse and everything. It's like really, really amazing. The ending is so nice. You cried. I got a little watery-eyed because anything to do with
I'm
the dad.
I'm
it's really thoughtful, and like, it's, I was stunned. Like, I was in for the whole thing. I was having fun. It's like, that's neat. Like, that's not bad. I'm not. And then the ending came, and I was like, fuck, this is actually really awesome. Like, I am stunned at how good this film is.
That's great.
Yeah, really happy with it. It's a really awesome job. And I think it will, we'll see if it ends up, it's a tough sell to say it's going to be like a cultural touchstone because of the audience is being aimed at like our age.
Right.
I don't know if younger kids would resonate through something like this, but Stranger Things is a whole big thing. So possibly, but it's really smart and a really well done holiday movie. I was really impressed. Seriously.
That's great. That's really cool.
It's so good.
He's glowing over there.
It's so good. Yeah, it's a Christmas miracle.
Wow.
My heart grew three sizes that night. So IMDb coming on up from the 6.5 they've been giving, and this one gets a 6.7.
Nice.
Yeah. A
little extra there.
That's right. Rotten Tomatoes critics. I didn't write down how many critics, but they gave it an 80%.
Okay.
Audience, 75%.
Nice.
And somehow,
wow,
I am coming up higher than everybody else on this Christmas film.
What?
Which is definitely qualifies as a Christmas film if I didn't define that. 8.5 out of 10.
Whoa.
This movie is very good.
Wow.
Yeah, very good Christmas movie. You are doing yourself a disservice if you don't watch it this holiday season.
Wow.
And I'm on the same page with an 8.5 as well.
Wow.
It is legit that good.
Wow. I can't believe it.
The spirit of Christmas.
I cannot believe it.
Just came in the form of Neil Patrick Harris this year.
Well, that makes sense. It does. That part makes sense.
Absolutely does. Dr. Horrible himself.
That's right. Well, Sam, we did it. We did another Christmas episode, and thank you for being a part of it. Are you excited to do it again next year?
I am.
Oh, damn it.
Give you more gifts.
Yeah.
More, I was
but
really
come on, you might get more like this.
Maybe. How many diamonds in the rough can we find?
There's got to be at least one more, right?
God, I hope so.
We're doing a spread of four. One of them got to be so.
I'll have to give it to Tim next year.
Right. He does. He deserves it.
I mean, I'm okay with bad movies. We're good.
His wife deserves it, let's be honest.
She's like, what is this? What are they talking about? She was so mad. That was great. She's always mad. I love you, dear. Visual gags on a podcast. All right. Bye, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Bye.